Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Welcome to our brand new podcast where we talk all things telly with me, Claire.
And me, Rebecca. Each week we'll be chatting through what shows we've been watching.
And we'll be keeping you in the loop as to what YouTube is series linking in the coming 7 days.
At the end of the episode, one of us will pick something for the other to watch so we can chat about it next time.
And we'd love it if you would tune in along with us.
This is Spilling the TV.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Claire. How are you doing? I can hear the rain in the background from where you are.
I know. It's lashing down in here.
Where in the world are you? It's so exotic.
It's so exotic. It's in a location, a very exotic location, somewhere in your driveway.
You are in my driveway because I have COVID.
I know.
Oh, man.
This is actually ingenious. I am just in awe of technology. It probably seems like really simple technology to you, but to me, it's some sort of like wonder, marvel.
No, well, to be honest, I have to give credit to Craig, my husband, who came up with the idea of how we were going to socially distantly record. And thank you so much for coming out and doing this, because I know I always gush at this stage of every podcast about how much I love doing the record. And so I'm so happy to look at you out my window.
Hello.
I'll have to take a photo of you.
I
have you here on FaceTime, and you're wearing a radio mic that we stole from my husband's kit. And we're going to give it a go, Claire, aren't we?
Yeah, sure, look, give it a lash.
Okay, so listen, if there's any kind of audio issues this week, you can understand that we're doing things a little bit differently, a little bit of MacGyverage here on Spilling the TV episode 7.
7, yes. Oh, and it is lashing down. It's like a monsoon in this part of the neck of the woods.
And you're not even enjoying a cup of tea?
No, it's okay. I have coffee here in the car with me.
You brought your own.
Yes, and I've just turned off the engine, so the seats are still warm. So I'm good.
Okay, you're happy. How has your week been?
Well, it's been like 2 weeks since we saw each other.
Yes.
So it feels like a long time. Mm. And yeah, a lot of water under the bridge since then. And
that sounds a bit dramatic.
I'm nothing if not dramatic.
What's gone down?
No, I kind of had a busy this weekend past has been quiet enough, but it's kind of been busy and socially. I need to rein it in on the socialising, I really do.
But did you listen to the Two Johnnies podcast about the catfish or the GA catfish?
No, and you had sent that to me and I just haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I'm intrigued.
Okay, do you know what? I don't even know if I want to over-explain it. I'm sure lots of people listening have listened to it. So there's two podcast episodes by the Two Johnnies. And actually, do you know what? It was actually probably an introduction for me to the Two Johnnies podcast. I'd never listened to them before. But by God, was it a good one to listen to?
Really?
It was epic storytelling.
Oh my God.
A really bizarre story, Claire, about catfishing in Ireland.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so...
Well, I'm going to have to listen to that on the way home tonight.
Oh, you definitely are. If it's of any use to anyone, episode one, if you start 26 minutes in, you'll get to the meat. And then in the second episode, start around 16 minutes in because you get to the meat.
Okay. And just for the record, I'm sure, you know, if the two Johnnies are listening, I'm sure the first 25 minutes were epic as well.
I'm sure the two Johnnies are massive fans, and they feel free to tell people to skip the first 12 minutes of this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. Oh, sorry. Can I just say one more podcast recommendation? Because I know this is about recommending TV shows, but because of the GA Catfish, I was then spurred to watch Sweet Bobby, which is another podcast, which I think you'll like as well.
Okay, good recommendations. I think we could work... I think we can work some podcast recommendations in.
I love a good podcast.
Yeah, do you know, I'm kind of only a recent convert, I think, because I suppose...
You started making one?
Yeah, exactly. I thought I'd better get on this bandwagon if I'm actually making one.
There are some great ones out there. I can give you some good recommendations.
Great. No, I do listen to some, but I wouldn't be... there's some that I never miss. Like, I never miss Tommy, Hector and Loretta. And I never miss... well, not that I never miss, but I would tune in regularly into My Therapist Ghosted Me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
They actually spoke about the GA Catfish as well. I listened to the...
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. It's that good, Claire. It's very much one of those...
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll have to listen
zeitgeisty.
To
it. It's good.
And then I listen to nerdy, like, work podcasts as well.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. And, Claire, while I was busy... binging on podcasts. Mm. You were brilliant on Insta this week. You're so good at that.
Oh.
You, I have to say, you make such an effort on socials and you're just really naturally good at it. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
But you...
I play to my strengths, Rebecca. I am definitely not the technical brains behind this endeavour, for sure.
Well, I can't claim to be either, to be honest.
Oh, but, stop. You're so good.
You did some really good market research. You asked people what did you ask? You put a question box up.
So I asked people what they would re-watch again.
Ooh, good. Did you get anything surprising back?
No, it's probably what I would have expected, but it was interesting to see things like ER, The Wire, Sopranos, Grey's Anatomy. What else was on there?
I saw someone, it's one of the ones that's on my list to watch, and I saw someone mention The West Wing.
Yes.
Have you watched that?
No, I've never.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I would love to. I remember when it was out, my parents and my brother were glued to it. And I don't know, maybe it was my age or something. I wasn't. And I would love to go back and watch that. So do you want to do that maybe at some stage?
Yeah, we should definitely do that. I have a really good friend, Anne, and I think that's one of her favourite shows ever. And she would really feel... that it hasn't dated because lots of the same issues have come up recently.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, we should definitely do that.
And the other one, that the big one that lots of people have watched that I have never seen, but I know that I would love it, is The Wire.
So I did watch that. It's really good. It is good.
Yeah,
it's worth watching.
And part of me thinks I would just love to go back and watch The Sopranos from the start because I actually have a rubbish memory. So it would be like watching it afresh.
But it is one of those ones that you can totally watch again, isn't it?
Yeah. The only thing is that there's so much out there to watch for the first time. Do you know?
I know.
Why would you go back and rewatch something? But there's good suggestions.
If you are going to watch The Wire, I would recommend to just give yourself time to get used to. I really found at the start the accents. It took me a while to get my ear into it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those ones where you just...
Do it there. Go on, Rebecca. Do it.
Claire, I can barely do a Cork accent and it's where I'm from. Do you know when I was younger on nights out, I used to pretend to be Australian and about two... Did you?
No, my friend used to do that. It was so funny.
It's so weird, to be honest, looking back.
It's so funny.
But what I realised was about 2 years into doing it, I was like, this isn't even an Australian accent. But what it was a really good South African accent. So, yeah, those. Beyond Sheila's wedding, we've never actually had a night out.
No.
But you sure look, have we?
No, we have. Yeah, we had one night out.
What?
We went to the Porterhouse and...
Oh, we did. Oh, that was very... Yeah. That was very...
Yes, it was a very sedate...
That was very mum's meeting in Dundrum Town Centre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a wild night for
was
me,
it?
Rebecca.
Oh. You looked lovely that night. You were in a gorgeous white dress.
Oh, you look lovely too. You were wonderful.
Claire... Shall we talk about anything that we watched that we didn't exactly plan to watch?
Yes.
And guys, can I just apologise as well for how I sound so kind of sinusy and stuff?
You don't. You sound lovely.
Okay.
I actually sound weird because I'm waiting on surgery at the moment for my airway. So my voice is quite hoarse. I've had COVID is just a head wreck. I've had surgery cancelled twice now.
I know.
But yeah, so we're probably not at our peak.
No.
Podcast voices, but we're possible.
We'll keep this one off the show reel, maybe.
Yeah. listen, yeah, and I have watched a few things that we hadn't talked about. Actually, do you know, There's one, Rebecca, that I suppose you and I have talked about off air, and I am very conscious of talking about it because I know that the content will be very triggering for people.
Okay.
And so I don't want to necessarily go into it.
Mm.
But I have spent a huge amount of time watching it, is the Depp Heard trial.
Yeah.
I had become almost addicted to it. Mm. And I wasn't the better for it. The mad thing was, in no way did I find it exciting or exhilarating, but I couldn't look away. It was like watching ambulances and car crashes, and I couldn't look away. And I had an awareness that I was feeling actually quite down after I'd watched the footage, but I couldn't stop. So I'd come home from a night out, and I was sitting watching the footage.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I obviously it's on my radar because it's on everyone's radar, but it's just something that I have no interest in watching it. It's like, I can't explain it. It's just, it feels too, I don't know, it feels too icky for me. And I feel
it's completely icky.
Yeah, I feel even a bit weird about like the overriding support for Johnny Depp. I don't know if that's fair to say, because I honestly don't know the ins and outs because I'm not watching it, but there's part of me that's just like, oh my god, like I don't know, I feel like if you scroll through anything, there's just a bombardment of hatred towards her. Which again, because I don't know any of it, I just find it all a bit mad, like,
yeah. And to be honest, I don't really want to comment either way on it, because anyone listening we don't know what anyone is going through or what anyone's experiencing, man or woman, you just don't know. What's interesting about it, and actually I was just reading about this at the weekend, there was an article about it in the Times, but it was just about how years ago these celebrities had contracts with studios rather than, you know, per film, but they'd studio contracts.
Mm.
So the studios would have really protected them from this kind of public exposure.
Right, okay.
So we've got two things. We've got, you know, that accessibility through social media and just the constant stream of footage from the courts and stuff. But then, as well as that, we've got this lack of protection for them, just in terms of their professional, you know, protection.
And is that publicity and PR machine not happening here?
I suppose pre them deciding to go and bring cases against each other, probably to some extent. But once you get into that court level, that there's no mercy, then everything has to be aired. You know, it's so public, it's so granular. Like the detail that they go into is so granular.
Okay.
It's just horrendous. But the interesting thing was that the article said, you know, these kind of crazy things were happening, you know, and are happening in lots of Hollywood homes, you know.
Yeah. All right,
if you even think of the Marilyn Monroe, you know, case with the Kennedys, like that was pretty seedy and horrendous as well.
But they live such weird lives. I mean, they don't, and especially the ones who get fame young, like they're so pampered and protected and yes. And I actually think that's just so damaging, you know, that they don't. It doesn't do it for me. It's something I don't want to be aware of even. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I envy you. I envy that you're in that position, because like I'm literally hanging on now for tomorrow to see.
Is tomorrow the big day?
Well, the jury are out deliberating and they've had a break over the weekend, and it's Memorial Day in the US today. So this is Monday, and they'll start their deliberations again tomorrow, and they may come to a conclusion or they may not. It may go on, but it's just ridiculous that I am invested in it this much.
Well, you're not alone, Claire. Like, you can tell, it's really, again, it's one of those ones that has people gripped.
Do you know? But I take no pleasure in it, but I just can't stop watching it.
Well, I've had a similar courtroom experience in the last few weeks.
Oh, with the Vardy case?
Yeah, Wagatha Christie. Like, yeah. I basically call me Kim Kardashian, pass me that baby bar because I'm all over it.
Oh.
So that's the kind of court case drama that I can get invested in, where, okay, you know, Colleen Rooney is wearing the same Zara outfit twice in a row to make herself look more relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's that's so manipulative.
That's where I'm at. So again, I actually ended up, I was on a long drive and I found a podcast. I just went to, you know, the top charts. And on the day it was, the number one was It's Wagatha Christie. And it's a funny breakdown of everything. But they have everything from experts in law, in defamation. They have like a woman whose job it is to save reputations, and they were getting her take on it and things. So it was good. That got me.
What's the breakdown then? What do they think the outcome is going to be?
So they don't know. I think from the final episode, what happens now is the judge now goes away for a period of time that we're not even sure, and then she has to rule in favour of Rebecca or Colleen. So, yeah,
I mean, just
space.
From an outsider, clearly not someone with any legal experience.
Besides your Johnny Depp.
Besides what I've learned through that case. Yeah. But although I feel like I've put in more hours than probably any barrister has ever put in to his training.
Committed.
But so if looking from the outside, it would appear that Rebecca Vardy does not have a case at all. But is that not the case?
So she is suing Colleen.
Yes.
For the defamation.
Yes. For libel. Yeah.
But she might have a case because as far as I can see, they haven't. It's not been like black and white because there was this woman. There was the witness who lost her phone in
phone
the sea.
In the North Sea.
In the North Sea. So it's not even that it's now. Maybe the podcast that I'm watching is dramatizing it a bit much. But I didn't get the sense that it was a cut and dry case,
okay.
I have to say. Like, okay, there's so much about law and legality that is about wording. You know, even there's
That's
things
it.
Like...
It's not about likability. It's about boiling it down to the facts. And it'll be the same in the Depp-Heard case.
Yeah. It's even down to the fact where Colleen, do you remember that initial tweet or that post that she put out saying, it's ... Rebecca Vardy's account. So that's kind of her saving grace, I think, is that she didn't say it's Rebecca Vardy.
Yes.
So she
because
blamed...
that's factually correct.
Yeah, exactly. But Rebecca Vardy's point is that it wasn't necessarily her. Now, in my opinion, I think that it probably was. Like, there's a lot of history between them where they don't seem very pally, and there were a lot of times where Rebecca would have courted the press a little bit more than usual. Now, I say that, I think they all are at that. I'm just so naive that I don't realise that they are, like, calling the press on themselves half as much as they are.
I know. Yeah.
God love me.
Well, no.
We don't have a clue.
No, we don't have a clue, but you could take a fairly good stab at it, you know. Part of me actually thinks that Rebecca Vardy, you know, doesn't really care whether she wins or loses. I think she's addicted to the notoriety, she's addicted to the attention, she's addicted to the fame. Actually, even all the get-ups going into court and the big glasses and the Chanels and the Louis Vuitton and the whole shebang, I think she thinks she's in her own...
Well, is it
drama?
No press is bad press kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I do think, you know what, you get a sense that there is a real kind of mean girls attitude within the WAGs and this kind of hierarchy of Colleen being, you know, thinking that Rebecca's coming in to try and get into her gang. There's a good bit of that. It's a bit, some of it's a bit silly, but...
Well, look, the only thing I could ever judge Rebecca Vardy on was I saw her in the jungle.
Yeah.
Not personally, like through the TV. But, she was not a likable person.
Oh, was she not?
Oh God, no. She had a real bullying tendencies and...
Oh, interesting. Claire, you'll be delighted to hear that I finished Derry Girls and I just absolutely adored it. And you were dead right. I think it was the strongest series. I loved it.
Wasn't it fab?
It was beautiful. It was so emotional and stunning, and I loved it. Loved it.
What did you love about it in particular?
I loved the mum and the sister this time, this series around more than ever.
Yeah.
I loved, see, sometimes I feel like I'm maybe swayed a bit by you. I love Tommy Tiernan in it, but I feel like that's because he is, you love him. Well, that's not true. He's brilliant in it. He's just so funny.
He's so good. But the double act between him and the dad's just fantastic.
Even the music is just so nostalgic, isn't it?
Fantastic, yeah. The soundtrack was brilliant this this season.
I thought that the comedy writing this year was the best. Like, for me, I was always a little bit irked sometimes by the girls, I think.
Yeah,
that
I know what you mean.
Erin in particular.
Yes.
I used to always just find it was a bit, like, over the top.
Yes.
But I just had to get over that. And I absolutely loved it. Is it okay to do a spoiler? But I think so at this stage. I loved the little romance storyline.
I know.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And you wonder, you think that there's space for that in the future as well. Do you know the way when you finish a good book or you finish a good TV series, you kind of imagine the characters living on beyond it? And you wonder.
Did you mention to me that you think that there will be one with the mum and the sister?
There was a rumour that there was going to be something with the mum and the sister, what they were like when they were younger. Mm. But I don't know that they should do that, because I think that they sort of
covered that. Because
the girls are almost like what they were like when they were younger.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
Oh, God, do you know what else? Oh, Jesus, Claire, nearly broke my heart. When Claire's
dad.
Oh,
I know.
She's very good at just that sucker punch of just luring you in and then boom. And it's never overly teed up. It's just so crafted. No. It's gorgeous. I loved it.
And that was so cute. Then, you know, when they had Claire moving to Strabane and they're going,
oh my God,
you just have to get used to the culture and the people. And it's just also different. They're going, you're in Strabane, Claire.
Yeah.
Strabane is literally like about 10 miles up the road.
I know. I loved it. I absolutely loved it more than I thought I would.
Yeah. And Orla's dance. I find that really emotional.
Did you? I liked it. I didn't get that emotional kick from it, but yeah.
I don't know.
Was it Riverdance or something, was it?
Yeah, it was like a take on Riverdance, but it was something. I think it was just all the dairy scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it really emotional. I loved the whole series.
And Sister Michael being, you got a sense of what it meant to her as well, which I thought was a lovely little touch.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. That last episode definitely showed as well more shades and colour to the characters and more depth and range for the actresses.
I think so too.
Like the way Michelle's character is so almost played in this one shade, like you tough out and this bravado.
And her brother then.
Yes.
I think she is absolutely brilliant. I think she's the only one who doesn't do it, obviously, to suit her character, but she doesn't have that kind of hyperactivity in her delivery.
No, I saw her on stage in a Martin McDonagh play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was very good. I'm trying to think now what it was. Was it either The Cripple of Inishmaan or The Beauty Queen? I can't remember.
Where did you see it? In the Abbey or something? In the Gaiety? Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was very good. Very similar character, but she was very good.
Right, okay, yeah, she's got that, doesn't she? She's brilliant. Claire, the other thing that I've watched that I know you haven't because I sent you a text about it, because I am flipping obsessed, is This Is Us.
Have you started it?
Yeah, did I not tell you that I started it?
No, you didn't tell me you started it, because I was going to ask you to start it this week.
Oh, were you going to recommend it?
Yeah.
Oh, Claire, too late. That ship has sailed.
Oh, wow. We see, we can't ignore it because so many people have gone back to us and said, This Is Us.
So I'll tell you, I was originally reluctant to watch This Is Us because everybody, when they talk about it, talks about how much they cry. And
yes.
I wondered, was it going to be one of those ones that was just, content light, make you cry, you know?
Yeah.
Claire.
Yes.
It's, yes, Rebecca.
I'm here. Can you see me through the window? I'm still here.
I can see you waving. It's unbelievable. I absolutely love it. And you know what? I haven't gotten into something as good at it, good as it in a long time, I'm going to say. And I think there's something like 6 series of it there for us to watch.
I know.
I'm watching it on Disney Plus for anybody who's wondering where to get it. And I know friend of the show, Laura Lalslots, Laura O'Mani. She's one of the people who I know for years has been has been talking about it. She's a massive fan.
And my friend Andrea said it's the thing that she loves the most, and she's made her cry so much, but she loves it.
It's brilliant. It's, you know, that thing about making you cry. It's just so good. It's not, because don't be put off by that if that's something that you're kind of going, oh God, I don't really want that, or it's going to be depressing. It's actually just, it's crying about moments of beauty in life. It's like really, really intense life moments, really well captured. I would recommend it to a friend a million times over. So that's
I love the sound of that.
You're going to love it.
How many episodes in are you?
I'm about 5 or 6, Claire.
Okay.
Like, I'm so invested.
Okay.
The first episode has a gorgeous, everything about it is gorgeous. So just watch it and we'll talk about it next week.
I'm there.
Good. I need to ask you, did you watch the most recent episode of The Kardashians?
I did. Oh my God, Rebecca.
I know.
Oh, I was actually we had just recorded, you had just put together our little 15 minute episode.
Oh yeah, it was rubbish, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was super. But I almost felt great shame.
For having said you like Courtney and Travis?
Yeah.
They're just too much though, aren't they? It's just, I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't. Well, do you know when he goes on, he's like, whatever my baby wants, or we'll have whatever you want, baby. And I love you so much.
Oh no, Rebecca, there are serious control issues going on there. Control, manipulation, anxiety. And actually, my friend Andrea would say there's lots of unconscious behaviour going on there. Like, their children are begging them to stop
kissing.
Licking each other and, like, kissing in French, as the little one says.
I know.
And they just ignore it and they continue doing it. It's so, makes people so uncomfortable. Mm. He licked her forehead at one stage.
Yeah, I think that was at the wedding, was it?
Or was that the wedding? Yeah.
I think it was a clip from the wedding.
But it's just, it's like, so somebody said to me, and it's so true, it's like she's had a lobotomy.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
And actually, the thing that I had said in the previous episode was, I think he's shown a lot of maturity around her children. Scratch that. Scratch it, bin it, and erase it from your memories that I ever said such a stupid thing. Like, it's just all very... I've seen this before in real life, where someone will absolutely love bomb another person, make them think that there is no one else in the world who will love them as much as that other person. And gradually what you see is like an isolation from family. You know, I just have my antennae up now for that relationship.
What I find weird is that we know that, like, all of the Kardashians and the Jenners are all executive producers of this show. So they're cherry picking what they want us to see. What the hell are they leaving out?
Oh my God.
Like, it's just a bit much, wasn't it? And it was just, I know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm on the same page with
you. Yeah,
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Another thing I know you loved, because you texted me about it, and I have watched tiniest bit of it while I was making dinner one evening, but I haven't watched it completely, was Hospital Live.
Yeah, it was so good. I suppose I have a vested interest in that. Like, there were several layers to it. First of all, I've worked in James's for the best part of 2 decades in and out of it. You know, I'm not there at the moment, I don't work there at the moment, but so I knew a lot of the staff. They profiled speech and language therapy in particular, which was really lovely. And it was with a caseload that I used to work with, head and neck cancer. So that was lovely. But also, it's just really nicely done. The backstories, the patients, their contribution to it.
What I liked about it was I loved the fact that we were back in a medical setting. It seemed to have been done really appropriately. But I think that it was such important programming, because from the little that I saw, I feel like it was very informative. There was lots of take home. Like, I watched the first episode and I saw one of the first kind of profile pieces on the woman with endometriosis.
Yes.
And I saw a little bit about the fatty liver as well. And I just thought, like, it's a really powerful way of getting information to audiences, isn't it? So I need to go back and watch it because it's exactly what I love. It's informative and heartwarming. I thought I really want to watch more of it again, but you got a better look at it tonight.
No, it was fabulous because you're right. It actually gave loads of new information about, you know, kind of cutting edge research.
That robotic surgery.
Yes.
You're probably aware of that, are you, with your work?
But there were things like the management of hemophilia and you know, what else? Oh, like psoriasis. Do you know, things that are chronic illnesses that affect people every day that they feel that there's never going to be a cure for. And there's so much cutting edge research now that that has already translated into clinical practice. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah, I thought as well, I really like Anna Daly as a presenter.
I loved
that it was her on RTE. So obviously Anna is known for working over the years with Virgin and formerly TV3. But I just think she's so good. And I love seeing the broadcasters do that, you know, be open to... Because years ago, that wouldn't have happened. Such a good broadcaster. And it was so great to see her on a primetime slot on RTE. Because the country's too small not to use good talent like her on programmes like that.
She's a very warm person, isn't she?
I agree.
She's quite earnest.
Yeah, I really like her. And I thought from the little that I saw, I thought she did a great job.
She did. She did a super job.
I will keep watching. Claire, another thing I watched on your recommendation again. I'm getting so much out of this relationship, you know. I watched Back to Life on Netflix.
Oh, very good. Actually, do you know what? I haven't gotten back to it since I recommended it to you.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a real nice kind of easy watch, but it's they're short enough episodes, I think, if I remember correctly. But I love it. I love the concept. I love the kind of dark humor, and there's a lot of intrigue in it. Like, you know, it's I'm still not at the point where I have the full picture yet.
And neither was I when I dropped off. Like, I think I had watched maybe about 3 episodes and I still didn't have the full picture. I must go back to that, actually.
Do. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, the idea is that it's about this girl in her 30s who has just gotten out of prison. I think she did an 18-year sentence for a crime. She goes back and lives with her mum and dad, who are great characters. The mum... and she, you know, she sees her ex-boyfriend who's now married with twins, and it's just great. I really like it.
And it was actually the girl, the main actress, wrote and created
and wrote
it. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay, that's kind of
really
cool.
Good. I finished The Staircase.
You finished it before me. I still haven't gotten back to it for some reason.
You know what, Rebecca? It was okay. I mean. So lots of people I think it's been hyped up a little bit. I actually think that the documentary is way more interesting.
So do you watch the documentary? Did you after you finished the drama or
I did,
in the middle?
I haven't finished the documentary, but it's already more
gripping,
intriguing.
Okay.
Now, I think the way they teed up The Staircase actually was that they sort of teed it up at the end for a second series.
Okay.
Because I think there's so much more to the story than was covered in the drama.
Okay, will I go back? Yeah, do you know what? I'll finish it.
I don't know. It didn't really grip me.
Didn't set your world on fire?
No, not really.
Okay, well.
What else? I watched the Mother Teresa documentary.
Oh, go on. I saw you did a poll on Insta. I'm intrigued to know the results. What did you ask?
So I asked, it was a 3-part documentary on Sky. And on social media, on Instagram, I asked the question, so what do you think? Is Mother Teresa a complete charlatan? Is she a saint? Or is she misguided?
What was the result?
It was a fairly even spread across the 3.
Okay. Go on, to give us your take, so.
I don't think she was a charlatan. That would be but I think she had a really primitive way of thinking. And I think she was very in awe of the church hierarchy. And she was really keen to curry favour with them. She was very keen to please them. And I think towards the end of her life, she certainly wanted to be canonized after her death. So she was the biggest asset that the Catholic Church had globally.
Okay. She was their Mick Jagger.
She totally was their rock star. And she spent so much time on jets flying all over the world, basically to raise the profile of the Catholic Church and to raise money but for the poor. But what actually happened was the money went to the Vatican. It never translated into poverty never improved in the streets of Delhi. And also she
was there highlighting of the poverty though through her
it didn't translate.
Okay.
And the other thing was that she set up these hospices for the dying, but actually her belief was that the more suffering you experienced, the closer you were to Christ. So, and you know what? Like, that sounds bonkers, but when my dad, after my dad died, my auntie, who I love very, very much, and she said, just after he died, she said, wasn't he very lucky to have suffered so much?
Oh, God, okay.
And her belief was that because he suffered so much, that he would go straight to heaven and that God must have been very close to him. Now, I did not take one bit of offence to that, because I knew that that was her belief. That's just what she believed.
Mm.
She wasn't trying to cause offence.
I know.
And to be honest, my dad probably wouldn't have even have been offended.
No.
But there
she probably was finding any way that she could get comfort for herself, you know.
Yeah, but I also just think that she truly believes that. And I think it's a very basic, primitive way to think. And I think Mother Teresa thought like that. I don't think... She definitely didn't have a good business mind. It was just all very badly managed. There was millions upon millions raised, and the poor just really didn't see any of it. So,
So are we recommending that people watch it?
I think it's really interesting. I find it really interesting.
Yeah, I only started. That's my motto for life. Yeah, I started, I didn't finish it. But what I saw as well, I liked. So I will follow through and watch it. Yeah, I promise. So Claire, 2 weeks ago when we were recorded last, we mentioned that there was a new series coming to RTE and obviously the BBC, and that was the new Sally Rooney series, Conversations with Friends. I presume you watched.
Of course. Okay, you tell me what you thought first, because you've read the book, I haven't.
So I think I told you that I preferred the book.
Yes.
It was the first one that I had read and I loved it. And then I read Normal People and also loved that. I actually recently read her newer one. Maybe I told you this. Tell me if I did. And I didn't finish it. It was just...
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. But anyway, so you want me to tell you what I think? I'm loving it. It's really slow. I'm finding some of the dialogue really awkward with the M's and the U's. I find the main character, I just want to give her an all, you're grand, it's so stilted. And I know that's a style thing. And we had it with Connell and Marianne as well. I think it's amped up a good bit in this series, the kind of the hesitation. But I'm loving it. I'm going to keep watching it. Sorry, am I loving it? I'm liking it and I'm going to keep watching it. It's not blowing my mind Normal People do. But as I think I said 2 weeks ago, I think Normal People was great, but I think that it came as well. The timing of it was a little bit of a sweet spot where we were all looking to watch something together and have a collective experience.
Yeah.
I think this is falling slightly short, but I will keep watching it, and I'm loving all the steamy love scenes. And I think
they're done very well, actually.
They are, yeah, they definitely are. Go on, give me your take, because I feel like I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yeah, you're not gonna like it anyway.
No, it's not that. No, I think you're right. I think Normal People came at a time when we were just ready to all. We were all inside, and it was really novel. We hadn't seen anything like that before. But I also think the calibre of the acting in Normal People just way
superior.
So here's my take on conversation with friends. They're all very angsty in it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't diss them for that, because I think, you know, I think that that type of young person, maybe studying the arts, maybe who comes from a troubled background or a broken background, or who's experienced some trauma at home, I think they are full of angst, and they haven't really processed how to cope with that in the best way when you're that age. So that's fine. I don't mind that. I think the main character, Frances, for the most part, is a really good actress. I think she plays it well.
Is she Irish, Claire?
I don't know. No, I think she is, because she graduated from the Lear. So I assume she is Irish. I think for the most part, she plays it very well. Sometimes it looks a little bit contrived, but for the most part, it's good. I just think the rest of it is all miscast. Joe Alwyn, Mr. Taylor Swift, he's trying to give this really understated performance. But what happens is that he is the charisma of a shoe.
I don't mind him. I actually kind of, I agree with what you're saying about Frances's character. I find myself kind of trying to get on side with her a bit more than I should be.
Yes.
But him, now, I do hear his little English accent coming out every now and then, but I'm, you know, that's fine. But I'm on board with him as a Mr. Romance. What I'm trying to say is I think he's hot, and I'm that superficial. Like, that's all I need.
See, I don't find him hot. Now, I find the sex scenes and I find the really good physical chemistry. But I think when they're talking, there is nothing, nothing between them. I find his voice has got that really, faux dysphonia.
What's that mean? What's dysphonia?
So it's like a false hoarseness that he doesn't have. That's not his natural vocal quality.
And he's trying to do a sexy husky voice.
Yeah, and I'm just so tuned into it that it's driving me insane.
Okay.
I also don't like his hair. That bugs me. And I think, what do you two have? I don't believe the relationship. I don't believe it.
Okay.
I also find his wife a really annoying character.
Are you not supposed to think she's annoying?
Yes,
though?
Yes. But I don't know that I care about any of them. I really cared about Connell and Marianne, even though they were both really, really flawed and unlikable at different times. But I believed them. But having said all of that, I will watch it to the end.
Yeah, I know.
Plus, a complete surprise for me. I didn't know until actually I listened to his podcast there on Thursday. Didn't know that to expect Tommy Tiernan in it. I just think he's an all-rounder, really, isn't he?
He is. He's good. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Another thing that was on, I haven't gotten around to watching it, is Stranger Things, and the reason I haven't is I want to wait until I have time to enjoy evenings where we're not just watching one episode and then wrecked heading to bed. I love getting into it, but I want to give myself time when I don't really need to explain that, really. I haven't watched Stranger Things yet.
Why not, Rebecca?
I have this habit of over explaining myself. Haven't watched it yet, Claire, have you?
No, but you know, I kind of need to go back and watch the last series, because I didn't stick it out until the very end. It just all got a wee bit too surreal for me.
Sometimes even when you do finish those series, I find that by the time the new one comes around, I did finish it and I want a bit of a refresher. I'm a bit like you, though. I forget loads and I'm like, what the heck happens? But they usually do have one. You can find it on YouTube, don't they? Like a kind of a reminder or a refresher.
A refresher.
Yeah.
I could ask Hugo. My son is mad into it.
Oh, is he?
I could probably ask him to give me a refresher.
You definitely could. Maybe he could record one for the podcast listeners.
Yes.
That would be great.
Actually, he watched, I don't know if this is on anyone's radar to watch, but he watched the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Oh, cool.
But I was heading out the door tonight and he said, if you're talking about that, would you just say that they're relying too much on CGI to make up for a really bad storyline? I said, okay, I will put that out there for you.
He's probably right. I that wouldn't be my cup of tea now.
No,
so,
nor me.
The other thing that started this week, and I get a sense that you're not a massive fan, is the Flight Attendant Series 2, which I will really look forward to watching.
Okay, again, what I know about myself is that I'm not massively into, like, surrealism.
Okay.
I think there was
what did we watch recently that you loved it?
Yeah,
oh, in Maid, you loved it. You loved
Maid.
Maid.
Oh, that was, but those were just little...
Gentle.
Yeah. So again, I didn't watch the full series of The Flight
Oh, did you
Attendant.
Not? Okay, no. Okay. I loved it. I loved okay. it. I just thought it was so different.
Give it another chance.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah, yeah I think you should. Claire, I had a look to see what was coming up this week on telly to keep an eye out for. Mm-hmm. And to be completely honest, I found it really hard to find programmes that weren't maybe repeats and stuff. And I think that's a lot to do with the time of year. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I do have on traditional television is a T.G. Carr series. It's called Maru in Her Mask. And it's a series that's been on for a while. It's kind of a true crime. It's a true crime series. But this one is on Wednesday, the 1st of June at 9:45. And it focuses on the 2013 murder of Thomas and Jack Blaine in Castlebar. And I've seen a few of those Maru in Her Masks and they're really good.
Okay.
So I think that's worth having a look at. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, I hadn't spotted much on telly.
Well, there was something actually that my husband mentioned to me.
Oh,
that
go on.
He saw as coming up. The Pistols.
Okay.
And it's on. Yes, it's on Tuesday the 31st on Disney Plus. So it'll be on. You'll be able to catch it up. The Pistols,
cool.
And it's a dramatization of the story of the Sex Pistols.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's directed by Danny Boyle.
Oh, okay. Okay, brilliant.
And he was on, I didn't hear this, but my husband was saying he was on Today FM talking about it.
Cool.
Last week. And he was saying it's like you've literally gone back in time and
brilliant.
Seen Malcolm McLaren and the rest of the gang.
When is that? Sorry, tell me again when that's starting.
Tuesday the 31st.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, yeah. I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah.
I did see a couple of Netflix series on Netflix on the 3rd of June. So that's this coming Friday. A series called The Perfect Mother is starting. So just to give a little blurb on that, it's convinced of her daughter's innocence in a homicide. A devoted mother soon uncovers unsettling truths as the line between victim and perpetrator blur.
Oh.
So it's another crime thing again. I think that's such a thing at the moment, isn't it? Like a true crime kind
Me
of
too. And
take
actually,
on everything.
Speaking of which, I finished Our Father.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful.
Awful. Very creepy.
Yeah. It's weird to say I enjoyed that, but I did enjoy that.
Mm.
And then the other thing that I saw coming out on the same day, actually, Friday the 3rd, is a series called Two Summers. So it's a drama. So a close circle of friends reunites for a lavish holiday decades after one of them was the victim of sexual assault committed by others in the group. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. What station is that on?
That's Netflix as well.
Oh, I like
so available from Friday.
Great.
So there's been loads. It's interesting how on Netflix they've started to drop big series heading into the summer. So the likes of Stranger Things.
Mm. Actually,
whereas, yeah.
Sorry. Speaking of summer series.
Yeah. Love.
When, yes. When does that start?
God, I don't know. I'll do a quick Google, will I?
Yeah.
Will we watch it this year again? Will we lose hours of our lives again?
Yeah, I will. Feck it.
Yeah, I probably will too. Let me see. Love Island 2022. Oh my God, they've released the cast, so it must be starting soon. Michael Owen's daughter. Oh my God, Michael Owen has a daughter old enough to be on Love Island. Okay, I have something, the start date. There's trailers out and everything, Claire. It must be soon.
Yeah, I think it is really soon.
So it seems like just yesterday, Liam and Millie were crowned the winners of Love Island. Are they still together?
Yes.
Are they?
Yeah.
Claire, it's starting on the 6th of June.
Oh.
Which is like next Monday, isn't it? It's the bank holiday Monday. Oh, well, I'm glad you picked up on that.
Excellent.
Okay.
That's
so we're going to have
summer schedule sorted.
Sorted, okay. Jeez, there was I thinking we were going to run out of content.
No chance.
Okay, Claire, 2 weeks ago when we last recorded, I set you a challenge to watch a series. I asked you to watch Younger.
Yes.
Okay. Go on. Again, you put up something on Instagram that has led me to believe that you didn't enjoy it.
Well, no, it's not that I didn't enjoy it.
It was a leading question, Claire. You put up Younger, and then the options were like you put up something like too young for, or what did you say?
I'm too old for this.
Or it's grand or something. And I was like, oh, she's not enjoying this anyway.
Yeah, no. So I tell you, I just don't see where it fits into my viewing schedule, because I think, well, first of all, I was watching it and I kept thinking, what does this remind me of? What does this remind me of? And then we got to the end and I could see that the producer was Darren Star.
From Sex and the City.
Sex and the City, Emily in Paris, that type of treatment to the whole thing. And
you're saying that like it's a bad thing.
It's really enjoyable. No, it's really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It's like hangover TV.
Yeah.
Total hangover TV. Like it's the kind of thing that if I was on my own in the house, I'd probably sit on or put it on and binge it on a Sunday afternoon.
So just let me just read out a little bit about it for anyone who's listening and going, what the hell is it about?
Yeah.
So trying to start a new career gets more difficult as you age, which suddenly single mom Liza realizes when she tries to re-enter the working world at 40. After a young tattoo artist convinces her she looks younger, Liza decides to do something about it. Her solution revolves around trying to pass herself off as a 26-year-old, courtesy of a makeover by her best friend Maggie. The newfound confidence helps her get a job assisting temperamental Diana, teaming with 20-something co-worker Kelsey. Liza hopes to make it a dream career.
I think, first of all, it is like they all must be wearing beer goggles, because she would never pass as a 20-something-year-old.
Do you not think so?
No. I mean, like, I actually think she's my age. I know the series is out a long time. Like, how long is that series out?
2015 it first aired.
Oh, well, here. Like, I'm, like, scraping the hours of 50. Like, she's supposed to be playing someone in her 20s.
You're like, 26 or something, isn't she?
Yeah, just that, I suppose that.
You're too cynical for it. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, if you want to put it like that.
I thought you'd love it.
I don't dislike it.
How many episodes have you watched?
Three.
Are you going to give up?
No, I'm not going to give up, but it's not something. So say, for example, I was sitting down with Roger and we were choosing to. I definitely wouldn't choose that.
No, me neither. I wouldn't watch it with Craig either.
And no. And I think I have been on my own and was wondering, what will I watch? And I actually watched Conversations with Friends. And then another time I sat down and thought, oh, what will I watch? And I still didn't choose it. But I could see it, say if everybody was away, like, so say if the kids were away, friends or, and Roger was away, I could see me like making myself nice food and sitting on the couch and watching 3 or 4 back to back.
But you're having to make an effort to watch it, which says a lot. It was like me in the Formula One show. I haven't come back to it since.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
Well, there you are.
You couldn't not. It's like Emily in Paris. I mean, I wouldn't recommend Emily in Paris to anyone, but I binged it.
Yeah. See, I don't think I watched Emily in Paris, but I just think it's so much better than Emily in Paris. I loved it. I thought that there was like, I loved the female friendships. I loved fashion. I loved loads of the characters. I loved that Diana character.
Maybe I just haven't got into it far enough, do you think?
Maybe. I don't, like, maybe it's just not for you. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Do you know what?
Or maybe, it was so funny because Roger said to me, I know what you're going to say about that. And I said, what? And he said, you're going to say, yeah, maybe it's just my age. maybe I'm just too old for it. Even though that the main character is kind of around my age.
Yeah, I wonder. Do you know what? Do me a favour. Watch 2 more. Let's do that thing what I said. I'll watch 5 episodes and then decide.
Yeah? Okay, that's fair.
Okay, deal. Give it a chance.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Do you have something that you'd like to tell me to watch besides This Is Us? Sorry, I ruined that for you.
That's okay. I do. And I hope you haven't watched this, because I actually haven't. I was going to ask you to watch This Is Us. I thought we could watch that we could go on that journey together, but you've gone ahead of me on the journey.
I'm five stops away from you.
Yeah.
Catch up though with me. I'd love to watch
it
together.
I'll catch up. Wait up. Yeah. So I haven't actually asked you if you watched this, so I hope you haven't. The Dropout.
No, I don't think so. Did you talk about this on one of the podcasts?
One of our followers on Instagram recommended The Dropout to us.
Okay.
And so I started it, and it's really good. So it's about Elizabeth Holmes, who started. It's a real story, true life story, of Elizabeth Holmes, who started Theranos, which was this startup company that purported to be able to take one little speck of blood and test you for all sorts of different ailments. There's no spoilers because it's out there.
Yeah. But I've read about that.
Yeah. So it was totally fraudulent. And so this is the story of it right from the start when she was a student, or actually even before she started as a student in Stanford. And then she dropped out and at a very young age started this company.
That became hugely successful, did it?
She became, she was on the front of Forbes magazine as like a multimillionaire and just this paragon of female success. And it was all built on a complete and utter lie.
And where can I watch it?
You can watch that on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, okay. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah. And it's Amanda Siegfried.
Okay, yeah.
She is phenomenal in it. And Stephen Fry is in it, and I love Stephen Fry.
Oh, cool, okay. What's their relationship in it?
He is one of her scientists.
Okay, cool.
And again, I won't spoil it because obviously that's not really in the public domain, like it wouldn't be readily available or readily well known. But that relationship and how she treated him and everything, it's really good.
Brilliant, really okay. Good. I'm looking forward to checking that out on Disney Plus. Claire, I think we've come to the end of our socially distanced recording.
Yeah,
how has it been for you?
Well, it was an experiment, that's for sure. Well, I can see you through the window. Hello.
You know, I can't really see you. You know that when you look out to someone.
Don't put on the wipers.
Give me an old flash, Claire. But you know when you look out and it's darker outside?
Yeah.
Kind of see you.
Yeah.
But thank you for making the effort to come out and do the recording because I feel so much better in my old sniffles.
I feel like I was probably a bit cranky on that episode because I kind of felt like I didn't like anybody or anything that I watched.
No, I didn't get that at all.
Oh,
no,
good.
Don't be silly. No,
that's
no,
good.
You're never cranky.
Well, look, thank you for listening, everyone. And if you're enjoying the podcast, come along and follow us on @SpillingTheTV on Insta and let us know what you'd like us to watch, what you're watching, what you're dying to watch. And just let us know that we know what to talk about.
And if you are enjoying it, please leave a little rating on whatever platform you are tuning in on. I think it really helps people find the show, people who might be interested in listening. And Claire, I'm going to take a photo of you out in your car so
hilarious.
I can post it to socials where you are. Claire, I'll keep my antigens up and we will make a plan for next week based on where I'm at. But thank
COVID
you.
Status. Okay.
COVID status. Okay.
You
Over and
care.
Out.
All right.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
Bye.